from Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, too.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spittle, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University Beers with the Brewers.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of Land Grant Brewing presents Beers with the Brewers. I'm Adam, one of the owners here at Land Grant, going to be the MC for this episode. With me today, I have Mark Richards, Director of Operations.
What's up?
And Dan Schaefer, lead brewer here at Land Grant.
Hey, guys.
So this week, we're going to be talking about our new IPA, Quadra Hopic. This is actually the first American-style IPA that we've brewed here at Land Grant, other than Stiff Arm. That wasn't a pilot batch. So I think we're all real excited about this. We've done some other session IPAs and Imperial IPAs, and this one can sit on the shelf really nice next to a lot of our favorites, Stiff Arm. So suggested food pairings with this beer: cilantro lime chicken tacos. Really picks up on that citrus flavor of this IPA, and maybe a pork and white bean chili, so a little lighter, little lighter chili this week.
Any vegetarian options with that?
You could just do white bean if you want. You could keep the pork out of your chili.
All right.
I think. Upcoming events here at Land Grant: we have the March Hickory and Oak this Sunday at 6 p.m. So it's March 25th. We still have a few tickets available. Check out landgrantbrewing.com and you can pick up some tickets for that. It's a great event we have with our friends at Ray Ray's Hog Pit, where we pair different beers with some delicious food that their chefs prepare. Also on that Sunday, March 25th, you can join us at the Clintonville Studio 35.
Oh, walking distance from the house, Dan. Let's think about that.
And
it's true.
At 2 p.m., we're going to be there watching Fantastic Mr. Fox. If you listen to some earlier episodes of Beers with the Brewers, we've talked about kind of the love affair with Wes Anderson here at Land Grant Brewing Company. So we're going to do a beer tasting. You'll receive a custom pint glass, 10 4-ounce pours of a different Land Grant beer, raffle ticket, a chance to win many prizes, and an opportunity to watch some funny clips on the big screen between each taste. So
that normally means man on a buffalo on rotation.
Yeah. Always a classic.
Always a classic. Love it.
So with that, let's get into this beer.
All right. So having already done the Stiff Arm episode, we won't go through the whole BJCP style description, just to sort of recount 5.5 to 7.5% ABV and 40 to 70 IBUs. Yeah, just a note on this one in terms of we had Stiff Arm more somewhere between an East and a West Coast IPA. With East Coast being typically have more caramel character, possibly not as high in ABV. West Coast being drier, little or no caramel, and generally higher in ABV. Quadra Hopic definitely is more of a West Coast IPA. It's very dry. It's a single malt, just our base malt, so it really lets the hops shine through. But Quadra Hopic, 6.7% ABV, 37 IBUs. You can see on the lower end of the scale there. Cascade, Centennial, Citra, and Comet hops with just the base two row from our silo. And yeah, what do you guys think?
I think it's delicious. I think the very citrus forward in the nose and also in flavor really dissipates fast, I think, on the palate. So it's got a nice clean finish, just nice and dry, really drinkable.
Yeah, I'd say this is a very crushable IPA when it comes to the ABV being where it is at 6.5%, similar in range of Stiff Arm, but how it finishes dry, how it, I'd say this is probably a 4 or 5.
Yeah, it's an easy 4 crusher. Easy. If you have 5, you might be in trouble.
Yeah, it's an easy 4. And this is on the scale of 6 crushability. I know there's been some debate internally.
I finally got it moved up. I mean, we sell beer in a 6-pack. It only makes sense.
I think it makes sense. I think we did ostracize you the first time you said that, but it does make sense.
I'm a winner.
Yeah.
widely ridiculed but finally vindicated Mark Richards.
True story, yeah. I think that's the theme of my life.
I don't know, Dan, what do you think on the on that crushability scale?
I would definitely say 4. But yeah, it's sort of dating myself on the candy references, but I definitely get sort of the juicy fruit, and there's like a lemon Jolly Rancher thing. You get it before us all the normal things that you associate with IPA, sort of floral and pine, but no, very much like what you said, Mark. It's very clean.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And at crushability scale, I think I've already crushed 2 pours on here, and I'm on my 3rd pour. That is a few ounce sample, but you get the gist.
Yeah, we might have to have Julie get another pitcher this week.
There it is. There.
Yes. We should note that after every one of these, Mark goes downstairs and physically enacts the crushability scale. Yes, yeah. So just to prove a point.
Thanks, Julie. Julie Amazing, we call her around at the brewery here.
Just to point out that we do serve this in the big old Nonic 16-ounce pours. So,
Why else are we excited about this beer, would you say, Dan?
I was excited about the fact that there is the first beer that I can think of that we've done that is just our base malt. So you get a very good idea of what the character is from that. It's not a ton because this is a hop-centric beer. It really gave us a very good idea about how that is going to perform and what type of character you get from just that alone. But originally we had we really liked the collaboration we did with the Petty Colas guys last year, Match Day. But that was a pale ale, and we sort of had the idea to step that up to an IPA. This isn't that exactly. We made little tweaks there. I've been wanting to try to put some comment into something anyway, because I really like the character of that hop, and I don't feel we've got the best of it. But it really sort of adds a little extra oomph here. Like I said, they call it baby citra, and it sort of boosts the perception of citra. But if you do it alone, it's got this sort of spring onion type character that you don't necessarily enjoy. So it's a nice booster hop, but needs a little help from its 3 friends there.
Well, I think you put it to good use here. It's got good friends because you built a very nice pint.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think, one thing that excites me about the beer outside of the flavor, I think Walt knocked it out of the park with this branding on this beer.
Luxury brand.
It's one of those that we get asked a lot of times, how do you come up with the names of different beers? And this one was one of those that kind of got down to the wire that we knew this beer was coming out for a while. And we threw a bunch of things at the wall, and Walt, being kind of the design photography world, came up with
quadroscopic originally. Quadroscopic. And as that relates to something else that he's an expert in is photography. So it relayed into that, and then...
Yeah, I think a quadroscopic, it's a camera that has 4 lenses that creates a 3D picture just from one shot. So,
true story.
So we being a brewery where you have to go with, if it's a hoppy beer, you need a hop pun to that name. So it fit perfectly because the intention with the 4 lenses and the quadroscopic was that we use 4 different hops, 4 sea hops this time, and that's where quadrohopic came from.
They thought all the hop puns were done.
Yeah.
They were wrong.
They forgot about all the photography nerds out there. And with that, I think, one of the cool things we've talked about is taking this, and as Dan said, it's just the silo malt, and it created a really good beer. So to be able to showcase, different hop pairings when we're utilizing 4 hops, continuing on that quadrohopic brand, is going to be a lot of fun to see this evolved.
And we've got more hop combos that we're dying to try than we have beers available right now. So eager to get some more combinations out there, because you obviously can't create anything from hop combos that aren't already there, but you can certainly reinterpret them and balance them in certain ways to create a perception that is completely different.
You did a rather unique combination last year with Trips Right. Mm-hmm. And I know that you had talked about doing a Trips Left.
That was just about this time of year, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, what the yeah. Trips Right was.
The Trips Right was German hops. So that, what did I do? Hallertau Blanc and, was it Homelin? Yeah, Homelin.
Yeah, Homelin.
I was thinking Mandarina, but nah. The idea was to, at some point, do something that was New World hops with just, you know, Australian or New Zealand, which are all the hotness now and not so easy to get. But we've been playing with those a little bit on our pilot batches, which you should keep an eye out for. Let's see. Patrick just did a red rye that's on the board. And just today, Lupulin Fruits came out, which was brewed with lactose that is intended to basically taste like a big old bowl of Fruit Loops. Of course, next week we'll be talking about Sun Drip, which we are super juiced about. It is really, really tasting very tropical.
Oh, I tried it out of the fermenter yesterday. I'm excited about that one.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really just sort of dripping with tropical fruit right now. It's being transferred tomorrow.
Yeah, you guys have really been killing it with the Brewers Series beers, and that's some great opportunity you have here at the tap room that you don't have out in market to get down here and try some of these beers. I'm really looking forward to getting some Lupulin Fruits into me after we're done with the recording here. Yeah, if you want to get a preview of what's coming up when you're in the tap room, just step back in the Kickstarter room and you can see the brewers have added a board to kind of show what's coming up and what could be on in the near future on some of these experimental beers that they've really been delivering some interesting items for us to try in the tap room.
Hopefully I don't think we've nailed down anything yet, but hopefully we'll have a podcast coming up soon where we can talk about some of our pilot batches.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
The availability of this beer, you can get it on both in both cans and on draft around town here in Central Ohio. We did only make a smaller batch of this as we want to make keep it fresh out there. So if you do see it, make sure you grab it because it's not going to last long at
the
brewery.
If the three of us continue the pace we're on, we may be out by later this evening. So get them while they're out there and get them while they're fresh.
So you want to? We'll go into the actual tasting notes. I think we've tasted through a few of these.
Yeah, sure. It is gold with a medium white head. On the nose, you get sort of lemongrass, juicy fruit, as mentioned above, melon, pine needles, a little bit of a crackery type of malt palate. It's more of the same. You get a little bit of that gooseberry type thing coming from the Citra and the Comet. And bitterness-wise, as mentioned before, it's more towards the pale ale side of things as opposed to big IPA, particularly for the ABV that we've got on this guy. Medium full mouthfeel and firmly drying on the finish. So it's a real palate scraper and keeps you coming back for more.
I don't know if it's the dry finish and it kind of leads to that crushability we talked about, that more of a lighter body and that gets through that, at least through the middle of the beer. That
yeah, certainly. Specialty malts, and particularly Crystal, can give you that impression of body because of the unfermentables in there. And because this doesn't have any of those, it is just very light-bodied.
Yeah, it's very good. I mean, it kind of reminds me, kind of puts me in mind of old-school West Coast IPAs, but then also with much less bitterness, and then also with the citrus in the forefront. So really, it's a really good beer. I really enjoyed it.
So what kind of makes this different, I guess, other than just having the single malt? Anything else, Dan, that...
It's like it's hopped like Stiff Arm, except there's no bittering hops. It's the same amount of hops, but it's all Whirlpool. The dry hop is the same amount as Stiff Arm. It's just we've shoved everything to the back, so there's not as much bitterness, but more hop aroma.
Yeah, I think you were saying earlier before we started that this is a good IPA potentially for people that have been turned off from IPAs because of the extreme bitterness. And I think we touched on that, those bitterness wars in the Stiff Arm episode.
Yeah.
That this is, it's citrus with Citra. And, you know, it's more along the lines of a session IPA, I'd say, and how we have, I guess, Greenskeeper with all late editions.
Yeah, it sort of reminds me, a little bit in character of Trips Left, in that it has a bit of that Chardonnay type of character to it.
Dryness. Yeah, definitely.
I would definitely recommend someone that says they don't like hoppy beers to give it a try.
Any other food pairings? I know we touched on a couple at the beginning.
I would just say that, yeah, in line with the, what do we go with? The chicken lime, cilantro tacos, and the pork and white bean chili. This is one of the IPA on the lighter end. So for Ray Ray's, I would go with one of the pork offerings or chicken, the Carolina pork or with their sort of vinegar-based sauces would pick up the citrus notes really nicely.
Yeah, and for you vegetarians out there, I had one last night in a can with a cheese pizza, so not totally vegan.
Thank you for that. I was expecting something completely out of left field and then coming in with cheese pizza.
Hey, Hans pays me $50 every time he gets mentioned on his podcast, so I've got to keep it going.
That's great. All right. I think we've mentioned a few times, if you have any questions, to email in at cheers@landgrantbrewing.com or check out landgrantbrewing.com/LGU and submit your questions. This week, we have a question from Adam von Lemden. I'm really bad at pronouncing things as I go. His question is, when it comes to formulating a new recipe, what is the main driver? Is it a desire to make something that we haven't seen yet? At Land Grant, tweaking ingredients on existing recipes to create a slightly different product, or trying to, quote, keep up with the trend and being a newer style that is the latest to catch fire? Is it all, some, or none of these things?
Thanks. Well, Dan, that's a multiple choice question there.
So thanks, Adam, for sending that in. We will be sending you a Land Grant University t-shirt for having your question read on the podcast.
Right on. What's the answer, Dan?
Yes. Next question. certainly all three of those. I think, as I mentioned before, the case was this. We were trying to do something like Match Day, but make it into an IPA. But at the same time, I wanted to use something with Common in it because I really like that hop. So you have both an element of, it depends if, you know, what the brief is. The brief on this one was make something like Match Day into an IPA. In the past and stuff I've done recently, it's sort of like, you know, maybe we're trying to do a NEPA or we're trying out a new technique. It's usually a new technique or a new ingredient on the pilot system. And whether that gets bumped up to a big batch or not depends on how well that turns out. Or, you know, maybe it won't be exactly the same beer as what we did on the pilot, but we'll tweak it a little bit into something that might get bumped up into a big batch.
Yeah, I think it's something, yeah, like while we talked about earlier about Sundrip coming out, that's one that we knew we wanted another Imperial IPA. We wanted a different recipe than batch 300 or 42:1 or any of the other ones we've done in the past. So that was just taking the style and going for that.
Yeah, and it we're always trying to brew towards something, like a vision of something that someone, that one of our brewers has. For this one, it was the Petticoalist beer. We'll talk more about Sundrip next week, but I mean, that was very much in mind of going for something very tropical. So particularly when it comes to hoppy stuff, I don't want to just throw a bunch of hops together and see what happens. I'm trying to think about what I'm getting from each one of those hops and driving towards a very particular flavor profile.
And that's like last week with 97.1, the beer, the idea was, well, let's make a premium style lager. And as Chris said, the inspiration was Coors Banquet beer. So
it was fancy Coors Banquet, and that's what we did, and that's basically how it turned out. So
I'd say, though, there's a fourth that happens sometimes, and that's someone will come up with a name for a beer. A lot of times it's me, and I'm like, we need to make a beer from this name. And the one I think last year, which was out this time of the year, was La Folie de Mars, which is French for March Madness. So I was asking Dan, let's make a beer that fits this name, because I think it would be cool to have around this time. And came up with a beer de garde that tasted very good, but was a style that is, as we've talked about, is kind of a lost style and not something a lot of people seek out. But that's sometimes the problem when you brew a beer style to the name.
That is my fault. I can't have a beer that is completely unrelated to a name. Yeah. It drives me insane. So, but sometimes that results in sort of cool ideas, like we did with Corsica. Decided to throw some candied citrone in there, which is grown on Corsica. Ended up, I think, benefiting the beer overall.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it was both last year. We also had Double Overtime, which was a name that was one that stuck around from, I think, my home brewing days. And we're like, let's make a Belgian double. And here's the name. So, but that's the exact opposite of what happened with Quadrahopic, where we knew the beer and got the name at the last minute. But I think as that happens, that Sun Drip was very, very similar with that. And we'll talk about that next week. But sometimes you just get an inspiration for where that comes from. So thanks again, Adam, for sending that question in.
Thanks, Adam.
All right. We did talk about some of the other events coming up here with the Ray Rays and Land Grant Hickory and Oak dinner this weekend coming up on March 25th. And then also that same day, the Fantastic Mr. Fox viewing at Studio 35. But we are happy to announce, after a little over a year's absence, it would have been a year, a week ago today, as the recording, it was on Pi Day last year, March 14th, was Yeast 101, which was the first, was the start of Land Grant University, which is the program this podcast is coming out of. We're going to be doing Land Grant University Hops 101, and that's going to be Sunday, May 13th. It is during Columbus Craft Beer Week, our second class in the series. We're going to have the brewers talking about a few different beers they're brewing. Dan, you want to talk about how this one's going to be a little different than the yeast?
Yeah, well, we haven't quite nailed down the exact hops we're using. We didn't want to just do all the different hop regions because, quite frankly, some of those hops aren't very exciting right now. So we want to do stuff that we were inspired by. But in terms of the exacts of that, we haven't nailed it down yet, although we are hoping to do something pretty experimental. But yeah, it's just the base beer for all of them are the same, same yeast. Just try to exemplify the differences in those different hops and the different hop growing regions. And we'll be talking about sort of the history of hops and how they are grown and processed, and you know, where the flavor comes from, where the bitterness comes from, and taste some good beers.
As a fan of hops, cannot wait.
So if you missed out on the yeast, or if you went to the yeast, one of the cool things, you get a nice little booklet that Walt puts together with. It's almost a textbook for your course, and has room for tasting notes, talks about the history a lot, what the brewers are going through. One big change this year from some of the feedback that we had from what we did last year, it's going to be on a Sunday afternoon, so we will be closing the tap room. That was some feedback. We tried doing it while the tap room was open. It was a little noisy last time, so we had that. That probably the loudest single patron at Land Grant. Just one guy talking, trying to talk over the brewers on the microphone to his buddy at the bar. So this time it'll be a close. The tickets are limited, so make sure to go to landgrantbrewing.com. Right now it's on the header to the website. You can also check out facebook.com/landgrantbrewingco, and we have an event there. So purchase your tickets, and we're excited to see you, and we're excited for that to come back as well. So.
Oh, absolutely. It was a fun exploration last year, and I'm sure we would expect no less this year.
Yeah, that's our goal kind of with the Land Grant University, with the podcast, with those events that, you know, we sit here and beer every day, and it's fun talking about that history and style and be able to kind of share that knowledge that a lot of us have picked up over the years and dedicated time to.
Absolutely.
And it lets us play, which is fun.
Well, quick update on Quadrahopic. I think it just moved into the 5 crush scale.
That's just goes on.
Not on this side of the table, but okay.
Hazards of the job.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining us this week on Land Grant University Presents Beers with the Brewers. Thanks for letting us share some time with you to talk about our new IPA, Quadrahopic. Make sure to tune in next week when we're talking about our new Imperial IPA, Sundrip. We'll hope to see you down here at the tap room at 424 West Town Street here in Franklinton. Make sure to tip your bartenders. Cheers.
Be careful, it's ugly out there.
Check you later.
Oh, that looks good.